Good morning, and welcome to the 10:30 service at Little Sitara. It's good to see everybody here. Is everybody enjoying the good weather? It's been very, very nice. This is the time for announcements, and I don't really have any announcements. Is anyone aware of any announcements that need to be made this morning? I guess in the way of an announcement, good news, the building project is I think officially wrapped up. There are some details that need to be finished yet. The kitchen project is ongoing, and I guess we're really getting into it now. But the major construction project is completed, and we're gonna be moving forward with converting the construction loan that we've had to pay for all the work that's been done into a mortgage so that we can actually start paying the bill now. A great joy to share with everyone. Are you not able to hear, Faye? Oh, I do have a mic on. I can hear myself breathing. I'll try not to breathe down, that's the problem. Yay. So I guess as in way of encouragement, if you haven't been contributing your pledge amount that you had pledged for the building project as we go on, we are gonna be starting to pay the mortgage coming up soon. So it's time to start making those contributions if you're able, as you're able. Okay, any other announcements? Going once? Alrighty, time for joys and concerns. What joys and concerns do you have to share with the body this morning? We have Gary up in the upper deck.
This morning, the youth in Sunday school, we were talking about beauty, and not just the outward beauty, but the inward beauty. And I just want to share that about 40 years ago, I really got to know a great-looking young lady who I thought was beautiful, and not only on the outside, but the inside. And this Tuesday, Mary and I are celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary. So thank God for that.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, Gary and Mary. Happy anniversary to you and many more. Well, on top of that, I do have a concern. Many of you know Lou and Jane Woodland, members of the Salem Lutheran Church in Bethel, because they help at Food Pantry. 2 weeks ago, Jane broke her ankle, and a week ago, she had a stroke. So he brought her home from Good Samaritan Hospital on Wednesday. But it's a difficult process for them because they're going to need to become very serious about an elder care facility. And so I'd like us to keep Lou and Jane in our prayers for healing for her and the decisions they must make on what they're going to do next.
Thank you, Richard.
I'd like prayer for a young man named Keith. He's had MS since he's 18 and he's now almost 30. And he's really struggling emotionally to accept the limitations. And I think he's angry and frustrated, and he just needs our prayers.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm enjoying the fall weather. I think that is a blessing, having some coolness after that extreme hot summer. However, we're also in need of rain, so I'm hoping that that can occur sometime, so that, you know, before it gets too, before the, you know, then you have to try to rely on if there's going to be snow or not to help the ground.
My nephew's wife, Glenda Blank, passed away on Friday morning.
I believe Bob has one.
Yes. Brother Disaster Work began in Haiti a couple of years ago with the 100 homes for Haiti that have now gone to about 160 homes. And now that project is closing, and the work of Brother Disaster will turn over to missions missions and service. And Mark Myers is going down there to do some videography for the closing of that project. And so Mark is going on Tuesday and will come back on Saturday. So let's remember Mark in our prayers. It's still hurricane season down there. And let's remember Mark in our prayers.
Oh, we have John.
My friend Aaron was taken to the hospital on Friday with severe abdominal pain, and they found a blood clot in her liver. They don't think there's any liver damage, but she's in for probably 5 days till they figure out all her blood work, everything out.
Thank you.
Jim and I are celebrating our 51st anniversary today.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. There you go. Happy anniversary
to you. We went up here, Ken. Yeah. A couple months ago, I had said something about my brother was diagnosed with leukemia. At that point, it was still in dormant. They've been doing testing since that, and now it is now active, and I'd just like for your prayers to help him through this time. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to take you back to anniversaries again. For those of you who don't know, my parents are celebrating their 50th this weekend. You don't need to sing again because they're not here. They were here at 8:15, but I just wanted to mention that.
Okay, I think that's it for the announcements. We have a hymn. Holy Spirit. Oh, we have a choir thing. Never mind. prayer? It is me?
Yep.
I'm wearing my microphone upside down. I'm sorry, I can't get this back on. A welcoming prayer. Forgive my unpreparedness. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here to worship in the beautiful sunshine. Thank you for the cool temperatures, the break in the humidity. We just thank you for the wonders that you have all around us and the joy that we can experience. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a little bit new. Elaine did this in the early service, and I think I'll follow what she did. I'm going to read the line, and then you will repeat the line. Oh. Yes, that's what we're doing. Spirit of the living God.
Spirit of the living God.
Fall afresh on us.
Fall afresh on us.
Melt us, mold us.
Melt us, mold us.
Fill us, use us.
Fill us, use us.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Refresh us, restore us, revive us.
Refresh us, restore us, revive us.
Bob is leading a hymn.
And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O God, and take not thy Holy from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Let's do it again now that you remember it.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. And renew a right spirit.
Let's pray together. God, we're so grateful that we can gather together in this place and that you're doing a new thing. Some of us aren't even aware of it yet, and yet you're doing a new work in our lives and in our world. And in spite of the things that are wrong in our world and in our lives, you continue to do new things, and we're grateful for that, Lord. Thank you that we can gather together in this place as a people of prayer. And we have a really long prayer list today of people and circumstances to pray for. And Lord, we lift up these names that have been named to you. And Lord, we pray for them. And we pray that you would hear our prayers. You've said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. And so, Lord, we're praying that you'd be working in a healing way today. And there are many in our prayer list who just need a touch of healing. We think, Lord, of Herbert Zechman, who's grieving the loss of Lillian and just dealing with his own physical problems. And I got a call regarding John Hoover, who was in the hospital, is maybe home, but Lord, you know his needs, and we pray that you would be with him and just bless him. We think of Jane Woodland, who broke an ankle and has had a stroke and just has a lot of need, and we pray that you'd be with her. This young man with MS, Lord, would you reach out and comfort him and strengthen him and lay a healing hand upon him? We lift up Aaron to you. We're grateful that it seems that there's no damage, but Lord, we pray that if there's anything remaining of this blood clot, that you would dissolve it, Lord. We continue to pray for John's brother, that you would be with him and be a blessing to him. And thank you for all of the wedding anniversaries we're celebrating today. Gary and Mary, their 30th year, and the Bowmans, who are celebrating today their 51st year. And we think of Carl and Jean, who are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary today. We're grateful for them and pray your blessing upon them. We ask that you'd be with Mark as he travels on Tuesday to Haiti, and pray that your traveling mercies would be with him, and that you would just be with him and others who will be there bringing to a close the work of Brethren Disaster Ministries and passing that work over now to Global Missions and Service. Be with them and bless that effort, Lord. We're grateful that the building project has come to a conclusion, and now we have an opportunity to pay for it. And we receive that opportunity, Lord, with joy. It's good that we have the resources to be able to complete this ministry, and we're grateful for that. Lord, there, as long as this list is, your prayer list is way, 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 way longer. And so we just join ourselves together with you and seek to know your heart and know the desires of your heart for your world, and so that we can pray in concert with you, Father. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
I will be reading the scripture this morning from Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It is very good to have the Lord's backing. God is with us wherever we go. God does so much for us and provides for us. And in this time of our offering, we are giving back a portion of what he has given us. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your protection, for being with us, for these words to Joshua. We thank you that we can use them and hold on to them today. We just want to honor you with the gifts that you've given us by giving a portion of them back to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thanks. refuge and strength, a present help in time of trouble. Though the mountain shake in the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, we will not fear.
God's people said, amen. Amen. God is our refuge and strength. That's why we can be strong and courageous, as the Lord instructed Joshua. The theme this morning is courage. Take courage. And now we're going to look at a passage from Acts chapter 23 and see how it is that the Lord challenged Paul to take courage. Paul looks straight at the Sanhedrin. That is the kind of the Jewish court system. He looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." And at this, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck." Those who were standing near Paul said, "You dare insult God's high priest?" Paul replied, "Brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest. For it is written, 'Do not speak evil about the ruler of your people.'" Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and others Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. You see, the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously. "We find nothing wrong with this man," they said. "What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him?" The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them, and he ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." Take courage. It takes courage to follow Jesus. Even in a place like this land where it's completely acceptable and legal, and in some communities preferable to follow Jesus. It takes courage, doesn't it? Sometimes we wish that we could be bolder in sharing Christ with our friends that we know really need Christ, and we wish we could be a little bolder, but it takes courage. Or sometimes there's brokenness in relationships. Maybe we've been offended, or maybe we've offended somebody else, and there's a division that emerges in the relationship, and we wish that we had the courage to go to an offended brother or sister and apologize, or to go to them and say, you know, you said something that offended me, and I just thought it would be important for us to work it out. It takes courage, and so courage is something that is a very important component in our faithfulness to Jesus Christ. Even here in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Can you imagine the kind of courage that it might take in the Middle East, where, as we've seen this past week, there's a lot of violence around those who would question the authority of Muhammad. And in places like Libya and Egypt and Iraq and Iran, Saudi Arabia, it really takes courage to live as a Christian, because in some of those places it actually is illegal. In fact, within the Islamic faith, those who follow Jesus are considered apostate. And at the conclusion of this message, we're going to see a story that's captured through the media of video that tells the story of a young Muslim woman by the name of Padina and her mother. Her mother was ill and dying, and Padina struggled under the weight of human rights that she, as a woman living in a Muslim country, didn't have. And she reached a point where she wanted to commit suicide and planned on it and shared that with her mother. And her mother said, well, then kill me as well. And the two of them planned to die together because they simply didn't want to go on. And you'll see the rest of the story and the kind of transformation that took place when both of them miraculously came to know Jesus. Take courage. How is it that we can take courage? You know, I learned something new as I was studying this whole concept of taking courage. I learned that the word theros, courage, the noun, only appears once in the New Testament. But the verb take courage appears 7 times in the New Testament. In other words, courage isn't just a human endowment that some of us have and others of us may not have. And we all know people who seem to have maybe a little more courage than we have, and maybe we sort of envy those persons who have courage, who are willing to step out and say things and do things that we wish we had the courage to do, but we think, well, we just don't have courage like that person. Well, in fact, if you and I don't have courage, it's because we haven't taken courage. And so I'd like to look at 5 passages in the New Testament that talk about how it is that you and I can take courage. And I'll be very brief with these because we want to look at this video in a bit. But the first 2 of these are in Matthew chapter 9. And the first is it begins in verse 2. Just then some people were carrying a paralyzed man lying on a bed, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take courage. Take courage, son. Your sins are forgiven." And when we walk in forgiveness, we are inspired to take courage. I may have told a piece of this story before about the time when I was 10 years old and somebody offered me a cigarette, and I thought it would be, you know, a real manly thing to take this cigarette and light it up and smoke away on it. Of course, I didn't inhale. But just I'm sitting there as this little 10-year-old guy, you know, holding this cigarette, trying to act like an adult, and my sister Ruth walks in. And she said, "Oh, I'm going to tell Dad." And I suddenly was filled with terror. And I threw that cigarette down. I ran out of that house. I ran until I got into the woods back behind my house. And I hid out in the woods for a couple of hours. And then it finally occurred to me that my dad would probably forgive me. And so I decided that I could go home, that I had the courage to face my dad because I knew that Dad would forgive me. And I think that's what Jesus is saying here to this paralytic. Take courage. Your sins are forgiven. The knowledge that we can walk in the grace of God, that our sins are forgiven, can inspire courage within us. There's a second place, just a few verses later, where Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, there's another story where we're invited to take courage. This is where Jesus had heard from Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, about a daughter who needed prayer. And Jesus was on his way to the home of Jairus, and he passes through this crowd, and this woman, this elderly woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, reached out and touched the hem of his garment. That's the context of verse 22. Jesus turned and, seeing her, said, "Take courage, daughter. Your faith has made you well." Faith inspires courage. At a former church, actually Florin Church of the Brethren in Mount Joy, we needed to put a new roof on the church. And so we had a roofer in the congregation, and he said, "Well, if you'll get together a team of volunteers from the church, I'll kind of manage the job." And so I was one of the volunteers, and, you know, we had to walk up on the church roof, and we were on these extension ladders that were 24 or 30-foot ladders. And, I'm not a scary cat, but this was awfully kind of shaky, and I'm just, you know, sort of one step at a time. Jeff, who was the professional roofer, literally would run up the ladder without holding on to anything. He'd have something under each hand, and he'd run up the ladder, which I thought was pretty courageous. And that wasn't half as courageous as running down the ladder. Step ladder. And he ran down just like it was steps. Well, how is that possible to reach that level of insanity? Practice makes perfect. And you see, walking by faith takes practice. And as we learn to walk by faith, you know what? We learn to be afraid. Fear is not an instinctual pattern within us. That's why we have to watch young children, because they'll do things, reach out and touch things that are dangerous, and they learn to fear certain things. And there are some things that it's very healthy to be afraid of. There are other fears that we learn that we need the grace of God to unlearn some other things that we're afraid of. But just as we learn, in a healthy sense, to be afraid of certain things, we also learn how to walk by faith. So in Sunday school today, we looked at that verse from Isaiah chapter 40 that says, "They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run even down ladders and not grow weary, and walk and not grow faint." So faith inspires courage. Then there's a third verse that I want to share from Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. Let's see. The context here is I think it's right after the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus sent the disciples in the boat to cross over to go back home, I'm assuming to Capernaum, and he said, I'll join you later. And a little bit later that night, after dark, he comes walking across the water, and they see him, and they think it's an apparition, a ghost, and that's the context here. Verse 27. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. And that phrase, be not afraid or do not be afraid, translated in a variety of ways, appears, I think I counted one time, 465 times that phrase appears. We have a God who doesn't want us to be afraid. Remember when Adam and Eve had transgressed, they ran and kind of like I ran and hid in the woods behind my house, and they went and they hid themselves. And it was God who came to them. We have a God who doesn't delight in our being fearful, but a God who says, be not afraid. We can take courage when we focus on the things of God rather than those things that generate fear. The first time I flew, I sat there next to the window and looked down, and we got about 1,000 feet into the air, and I thought, oh my Lord, if this plane crashes, I'm in some serious trouble. And, you know, I've flown dozens of times since then, and don't even think about that. Never occurs to me. Now, it's still possible that the plane could crash, but I'm not fearful of that because I don't sit there looking out of the window thinking about what would happen if the plane would crash, you know? I focus on other things. And that focusing on other things, focusing on the grace of our God, focusing on the promises of our God, focusing on the blessings that we have. When we focus on those things rather than the sources of our fear, we're able to have courage to press on through the difficulties we might find. There's a fourth one, and I'm trying to really wing through these pretty quickly because I want us to see this video. In Mark chapter 10, verse 49, we find this. Mark 10, 49. This is the story of the blind Bartimaeus. I'm going to start at verse 46. They, meaning Jesus and the disciples, came to Jericho. And as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, and he cried out even more loudly, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, get up. Jesus is calling you. Walking with Jesus inspires courage. And listen, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So Jesus goes with us wherever we go. One of my favorite songs when I was a kid growing up in the little church that I grew up in was, anywhere with Jesus, you can safely go. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I shall not know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. And I absolutely believe that. I give you the Bob Krause seal of good housekeeping that anywhere with Jesus we can safely go. David discovered, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Anywhere with Jesus, we can safely go. And so as we're walking with Jesus, as they invited Bartimaeus to come and stand next to Jesus, Jesus said, take courage. I'm with you. And then there's one final one, and this is one that probably is one of the memory verses that we learned, the very end of John chapter 16. This is the conclusion of the upper room discourse, the end of the teaching that Jesus did as he gathered together with his disciples in the upper room. You know, he washed their feet and they broke bread together. And then he did a lot of teaching because he knew it would be the last prolonged time that they would be together before his crucifixion. And he says at the conclusion of this teaching the following: I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world. When we understand that we cannot fail when we're serving God, when we're seeking first God's kingdom and God's right, we cannot fail. You know, when you realize you can't fail, when you realize that you cannot be separated from the presence of God, you have the courage to do some things. Kind of a humorous example of that is one of my favorite films, Groundhog Day. You know, where the Bill Murray character goes, he's a TV reporter, and he goes to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania to cover Groundhog Day, and he stays in a bed and breakfast there in Punxsutawney, and the alarm goes off at 6 a.m. the next morning, and he finds the same day is repeated over again. And next day, same day, repeated over again. And so he goes through, you know, he drives and drives his car in the path of a train, drives his car over a cliff, does all of these things, and the next day he wakes up again and lives that day over again. Well, I'm not saying that, you know, that you should drive in front of a train or drive off of a cliff, but there is some sense, honestly, that as we seek first God's kingdom, as we seek to live lives that are pleasing to our God, that really nothing can keep us from the love of Jesus Christ. Paul writes that beautiful passage in Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Neither life nor death, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all of creation can separate us from the love that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we understand the forgiveness of our God and walk by faith and focus on the promises of God rather than the problems of life, and seek to follow Jesus and understand that we needn't fear failure because we serve one who has overcome the world. When we understand these, we can take courage that enables us to press through whatever challenges confront us. And that's where this story that I want to share with you now, Padina, the young Iranian woman, that's why this is such an important story. Because, as I mentioned earlier, according to Islamic law, following Christ is the act of an apostate. And it's against the law. And you may have remembered, not many weeks ago, the Congress made a statement to the government of Iran to release a pastor who had been arrested and given a death sentence because he refused to recant his faith. Do you remember that? That wasn't too long ago. And he was thankfully released. But it's really not legal to follow Christ in many places in the world. And Iran is one of them. And so now this is the story of one young woman who met Jesus in the midst of a time of crisis in her life. And it talks about the transformation that took place. Let's view the video now.
و حتی مثلا از سن 4-5 سالگی شروع کردم نماز رو یاد گرفتن و مثلا قبل از اینکه وارد مدرسه بشم سوره های قرآن رو حفظ میکردم دین هستن اینا خیلی شستشون مغزی ما رو میکردن و اگرم یه همچین چیزی میشنیدم خوشحال میشدم ولی همیشه به ما میگفتن حتی اگر یه مسیحی رو بکشیم وارد بهشت میشیم و برای همین بیشتر تلاش میکردم که قانونهای مذهب رو دقیق تر انجام بدم فکر میکردم وضوع اشتباه گرفتم دوباره هی میرفتم وضوع میگرفتم شاید این مثلا برای یه نماز 10 بار تکرار میشد که من میرفتم وضوع میگرفتم و برمیگشتم و مریضی روحی هم که گرفتم افسرده وحشتناکم بودم احساس کردم که هیچ وقت به خدا نرسیدم و مامانم تو حالت مرگ بود خیلی هم وابسته بودم به مامانم و گفتم که من خودم رو میکشم اگه اجازه ندی تو خونه این کار بکنم بیرون از خونه خود کشم
ولی تو جوونی تو آینده داری مامان جان
و گفتم باشه اگر دوست داری با هم خودکشی کنی
My brothers and sisters, I'm with you tonight. The Lord has a special message for you tonight. If you're hopeless, if you're oppressed, if you're planning to commit suicide, the Lord says stop. He has a hope and a future for you. If you're planning to kill yourself, stop and call me.
و برای نیم ساعت با کشان ما صحبت کرد. کاری که کردم انجام میدم و اگر تو بخوای پشیمون بشی من خودم تنها این کار میکنم. وقتی که رفتم توی اتاق دیدم مامانم داره دعای تو برو میکنه و خیلی عصبانی شدم
به من ندیا نه
شوهش میکنم
نمیخوام با شرف بزنم بلان کن نمیخوام قطع کن بینم
چی داره
خدا فردینا نمیخوام
لجبازی نکن
نمیخوام قطع کن رجالت بده قرمز مگه کیه بلان کن کشیش قرمز کیه
ولی شما گفتین اگه کسی
Hello.
When I talked to her, she was cold.
بله, من
پرویزا she هستم. Was fighting, and she told me very proudly, "I'm going to kill myself, and your Jesus cannot do anything for me." After about an hour of argument with her, and I couldn't change her mind.
عیسی من به تو ایمان میارم.
You said it yourself. Allah has done nothing for you. Give Jesus just one chance. You can always kill yourself next week.
وقتی که این فکر اومد توی سرم گفتم این بهترین راهه که یه بار دیگه تا آخرین لحظه مرگم به الله خدمت کنم.
She was thinking, okay, I pray and next week this time Jesus had not done anything for me. I call live on the air and I tell everybody, look, I tried Jesus for a week and nothing has changed and I'm going to kill myself tonight and I will do it on the air.
و بعد از یک هفته که خودکشی میکنم حداقلش اینه که وقتی به حضور خدا میرم میگم آخرین کارم هم برای تو انجام دادم.
فردا صبحش که از خواب بیدار شدم، ساعت ببخشید نیمه شب بود که از خواب بیدار شدم، دیدم و دیدم که مامانم خیلی راحت داره تو خونه راه میره و دیگه اونطوری نیست که تعادل نداشته باشه یا دستشو جایی بگیره. گفتم ما باید سریع بریم بیمارستان و وقتی که جوابو سریع گرفتیم دکتر گفتش که فقط میتونم بگم یه معجزه شده، چون هیچ اثری از بیماری ام اس نیست.
چه جوری میشه؟ شما خودتون گفتین که ایشون ترمینال بودش.
فقط ایشون خانم یه معجزه است و به یه امام دعا کردین. شما کجا نشون دادین؟ خانم این شب یک معجزه است. این یک معجزه است.
ما اصلا به هیچ امامی دعا نکردیم. به عیسی مسیح دعا کردیم.
There are many places in the world where it takes great courage to be a follower of Jesus. It takes courage anywhere. We can receive courage as we walk by faith, as we walk in forgiveness, as we focus on the promises and blessings of our God, as we follow Jesus, as we are free from the fear of failure. We are able to take courage, the courage that will take us through. Let's rise to our feet and sing our closing hymn.
Thank you.
What is your life? James says, it is but a mist. Here today, gone tomorrow. It passes so quickly. Those 51 years of marriage seems like it was only yesterday, I'm sure. Or maybe the day before. Very soon, much sooner than any of us anticipate, we will come to the end of our days here on earth. Let us live these days, whether it be 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 years or 70 years. Let us live these days with courage. My brothers and sisters, take courage. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.